Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to leave on a high note. Thank you so much, Pastor, for sharing your heart. You know what? That man went through that so we could be blessed by what he's learned. And we ought to thank God for that. And just amazing testimony and about being torn. And you cannot live on this earth. And not, you know, by the way, I thought to myself, there's no word, I'm 66, there's no word that I've lived closer to in 66 years than the word trouble. I have lived next to trouble all my life. Trouble's always been around and will be there. And how you handle that trouble that comes into your life, until we get to heaven, we're going to be by trouble. Job said, as sparks fly upwards, so does man born to trouble. And we're going to have times that we're torn. But you know, sometimes you ever notice too, if you've ever had surgery or scar, that sometimes is also one of the best healing and the strongest part is, and those scars are all memorials of what God has done in our lives as well. Amen. Joshua chapter 10, we had something happen to our family, and I did change the message tonight. I will tell you this, do not miss tomorrow. Do not miss tomorrow. Look at the person on the other side, maybe that's your spouse, and say, you will be here tomorrow. Okay, you do not want to miss tomorrow. Tomorrow, I don't know what's going on in the split sessions. I know they'll be phenomenal. What I'm going to give is the five most important truths in the home, and it is life-changing. I guarantee you, you'll be like, wow, that was what I needed. And so we're looking forward to a great day tomorrow. I just want to close you with a story. And about something that really has burdened me in my life. I think we have become too satisfied with where we're at in our spiritual journey. And I just think of all the things that have been said, especially tonight. And, you know, Paul said, I am not apprehended. I have not arrived. And there is a dissatisfaction with where Paul was, that I may know him. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I teach the book of Joshua at West Coast, and I love the book. I just think it was made for college students, Victorious Christian Living. But Joshua chapter 10 is extremely interesting. Most of the time, we always think the great big victory of the book of Joshua, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And that is amazing. And that's their first battle. But I will tell you, I think Joshua chapter 10 is the most amazing chapter in the entire book. When Joshua, who at the beginning of the book doesn't think he can make it without Moses, and basically God says, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead, but I am not. You don't need Moses, you need me. And he, you know, he gives them all that encouragement in the chapter one, wherever your footsteps, your soul, your footsteps, I'll give it to you. Don't be discouraged. Be courageous. Well, in chapter 10, Joshua's saying that to all the people of Israel. So whatever happened in chapter one to chapter 10, Joshua got it. And, but Joshua does something in chapter 10. And you want to talk about prayers of prayers? This has got to be the most audacious prayer that you will ever find in the Bible. So Joshua is doing the work of God. He's in the center of God's will, but he doesn't have enough time to do what God's called him to do. And he's not satisfied. He's like, no, we are not done yet today. Well, we'll just wait till tomorrow, go to bed, have a night's rest, and then tomorrow they'll still be, the enemy will still be there, and you'll get victory. And Joshua says, no. We're doing this, and we're doing it right, and we're going to do it all the way right now. Look at Joshua chapter 10. He's fighting with all of these five nations in the northern part of Israel, and look what he says. Verse number 12, you want to talk about an audacious prayer. Here it is. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. So it's been a victorious day. But he is not satisfied. And he said, in the sight of all Israel, he said, Son, stand thou still. Okay, he's telling the sun to stand still. Upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Elon. And thus, look verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon the enemies. Is not this written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Now look at verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened. Now that word hearken in the Hebrew is shema. Everyone say that word, shema. Everyone together? Now that is very interesting, because almost every time you will ever see that word in the Hebrew, it is what man needs to do with God. It is to hear, to obey. Matter of fact, the most holy passage of scripture to all Jews is Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And Shema means to hear, to obey. But look at this. Joshua prayed and the Lord shemad. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. I'll tell you what, how do you get better prayer than that? The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And here's what I want to talk to you about. Joshua was not satisfied. Joshua said, no, we are not done yet. We need God's help, and I am not satisfied with where I'm at. Now, I want to tell you, I deal with young people, I deal with college students, I deal with everybody. And I will tell you, today in America, there is a lethargic, apathetic spirit to our Christianity. And I want to share this with you before you leave here tonight. And I'll tell you one story, and we're out of here. Don't be satisfied with your marriage. Don't be satisfied. Some of you have been married. How many of you have been married for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. You've been married for more than 10 years. Okay, the vast majority of you. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with your walk with the Lord. Paul says, I know that I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before. You know why some of your marriages aren't that great? Because you got satisfied with where you're at. You come to a place like this, you hear what you hear, and you go, no, Lord, I want, you know what? When we first got married, we prayed for something special. Let me ask you, do you have what you prayed for? When I got saved, Brother Scheller, I was so on fire for God. Do you still have what you thought the Christian life was going to be? Well, no, I realize in the real world. Oh, stop that. No. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. As you go to bed tonight, I want you to be dissatisfied with your walk with the Lord. I want you to be dissatisfied with your marriage. There's a long way for me to go as a wife. I've got things to do as a husband, as a father. You know what, Lord? I am not satisfied. I am hungry to see you more than I've ever seen you before. And I think in America, Christianity has just reached this plateau and we're satisfied. Let me tell you a story and we're on our way to bed. Years ago, in the early 90s, Marilee and I thought we would take the boys camping. And we had camped before many times, but we wanted to go out to Colorado and really do, now not backpacking, but tent camping. And so we had all the equipment already because we did a lot of camping around Florida or whatever like that. But the boys had never seen snow before in their entire life. And so we were going to go out there in early June where there was still snow in the mountains, and we were going to camp and we were going to do all these things. So Marilee is born in Longmont, Colorado. So she remembered a lot of things. So when we're driving out with the three boys, one of the first things she says, Jim, we have got to go to Four Corners. I said, well, and I've been out west many times. I said, what's Four Corners? She says, Jim, it's where four states meet together. New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah. Anyone here ever been to Four Corners before? Whoa! Look at all those sad people. That is the most depressing point I've ever been in my entire life. You drive 2 hours to stand on a little brass ring and get off of it. Okay, can I tell you this? Ben, Luke, and Drew were not impressed with Four Corners. I went like, whoa, what a waste of time that was. And she said, well, you know what? She said, Jim, it's okay. Tonight, our first camping, we're going to go to Mesa Verde, the Green Table. She said, it's where the Indians used to live in the caves 500 years ago. I went, wow, sounds cool. Let's go to Mesa Verde. So from Four Corners, we went to Mesa Verde another couple hours before, I think it was like 3 hours before we got to Mesa Verde. I just want you to know that Dad, Ben, Luke, and Drew were not impressed how Indians lived in caves 500 years. And this is our first night camping. It was terrible. All it was, there was nothing green about Mesa Verde at all. And it was just, it was all dirt. And it was just a terrible camping spot. The next morning, now we did all of our cooking. We did right there. And I love to cook on a campfire. So we had the little grill and everything like that. So we did all the cooking. We had the breakfast and we had our family devotion time. So at the end of the family devotion time, I said, hey guys, as we pack up, what do you think we ought to pray for, guys, today? Ben, my oldest, raises his hand. I said, yeah, Ben, what should we pray for? Another camping spot. And I said, you know what? I'm right with you. Let's pray for, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Four Corners and Mesa Verde, this is not going the way we thought, you know? I said, okay, so let's do that, guys. So what do you want to pray for? Snow! I said, okay, let's pray for a camping spot that we can see snow. I said, what, mountain? Dad, we're supposed to be out here. We're supposed to see mountains. Matter of fact, I think the first thing that they said was green trees. I said, okay, let's pray for a camping spot that got green trees. Let's pray for a camping spot we can see the mountains. Let's pray for a camping spot that we see snow. What else? Dad, what about a lake? Let's pray for a camping spot that's got a lake. And I said, okay, there's not a lot of lakes in Colorado, but let's go ahead. Let's pray. So let's pray for a camping spot that's got green trees, that's got mountains, that's got snow, and that's got a lake. Okay, guys, you ready to pray? Anything else we have to pray for? And little Drew, Drew's the young guy. Drew says, Daddy, can we pray for a camping spot that looks like a postcard? And I said, okay. Let's pray for a camping spot that looks like a postcard, that has green trees, that has mountains with snow on it, and it has a lake. So we all prayed, and we got going. We packed up, and we started going up the $1 million highway. Now, Four Corners ain't so cool, but I will tell you, how many have ever been on the $1 million highway? Okay, we got a few, not many. Now, this is worth going. Now, it's called the $1 million highway, not because it cost $1 million. But because they're $1 million views. It is drop dead gorgeous. You go from Durango to Cortez and you go up to Telluride and you go up to Silverton. It is the western slope of the Rockies where most people never go. It is drop dead gorgeous. Well, the boys now see snow for the very first. Is that my buzzer to stop preaching? No, we're still good. Okay, all right. So we're driving up the $1 million highway and we're stopping at every vista because the boys, Dad, we got to take pictures. Dad. So, man, we're having the time of our life. They're going in. They get there making their first snowballs in the woods and everything like that. And man, we're having a great, we had a lunch at Silverton and we're just having the day. But I'm going like, it's getting late. We got to find a camping spot, you know? So we continue to drive late in the afternoon. I mean, like we're talking 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We come to a little town called Ouray. Ouray is this quaint little town. It's a trout stream in it. It's just this beautiful little town. And everyone was having the time. Now, Ouray is important because the next day I rented a Jeep in Ouray that we were going to take up the Yankee Boy Basin. So I wanted to check and make sure the Jeep was okay and we were going to still have it the next day and everything. So I'm checking with that and I can't get anyone to leave. Everyone merrily wants to go shopping in Ouray. The boys want to play in the stream, but I'm going, guys, we got to get going. We got to get going. We got to cook our food. We got to get a campsite. We did everything. So we start driving away, and we go, and now, man, I'm telling you, it's 4:30. I don't know exact the time, but it's getting dark. And we're driving out of Ouray. And as we're driving, we drive 7 miles. I'm going, Lord, you got to give us a camping spot. You got to give us a camping spot. And then I see the sign. Oh, thank you, Lord. K-O-A. And I went, oh, thank you, Lord. So we turned into this KOA campground. And as soon as we turned in, everyone got quiet in the van. And I go in and I pay for the site. It's $38, which I thought was extremely a lot for a camping spot that we didn't need electric. All we needed was a fire pit, but it was $38. So I come and we go down to our camping spot, down to our site, and I'm trying to get my boys going. We got to put tarps out. We got to set up the tents. We got to find firewood. We got to cook dinner, and it's getting dark. And I don't know what time, it's after 5 o'clock and it's getting dark and man, we're moving and nobody wants to do nothing and nobody's saying anything. And I said, come on guys, we got to get the tarps out. We got to put them down. We got to put the tents up and everything like that. I said, Ben, come on, let's get going. What's wrong? And Ben says, Dad, is this what we prayed for? What are you talking about? This morning. Is this what we prayed for? Oh, yeah, there's green trees. Come on, let's go, let's go. Let's go. Dad, this isn't what we prayed for. Luke says, Dad, I don't see no lake. I don't see no snow. Yeah, no. You know what? God will give us that sometime this week, okay? Come on, let's just... Dad, this isn't what we prayed. Little Drew, Dad, this don't look like a postcard. I said, Marilee, help me. And Marilee says, this isn't what we prayed for. I said, oh, man. Oh, so I'll tell you what. I'll go back and see if they give me my money back. They're not going to give me my money back. I'll see if they give me my money back, okay? And then we'll go somewhere else. Man, it's dark now, you know? I go in there and I said, can I have my money back? And they said, there's something wrong with the site. No, there's really not anything wrong with the site, but can I have my money back? Yeah, if you really want, you can. And they give me my money back. And I said, okay, let's go, guys. So we get back on the highway, and it was a county road, and we start driving. I'm going, man, we're going to end up sleeping in the culvert tonight. It's there. We drive another 14 miles. No, 12 miles. We drove another 12 miles. And I'm going like, it's dark now. It's past twilight. It's dark. And I see a sign, maroon sign, Ridgeway State Park. So I pull in. The ranger is putting down the thing for the night, the big bar, putting down the thing for the night. And I said, hey, do you have any more camping sites? The ranger said, the only thing we got left is primitive sites. That means there's no bathroom or anything. I said, that's okay. We're ready for that. We got our own porta pot and everything. We do the primitive camping sites. So I said, no, we can take one of those. He said, okay. So we go in. He shows me a map of the loops and what's left. And I pick a spot. I don't know. It's a long one. I don't know. Site 187. Everyone together, what's the number of the site? I can't remember that. Okay, so we're at 187. So we get back in and we drive. It takes us 20 minutes to find the person. I mean, we're going around these loops and we can't find the numbers. We're 84 and whatever. And it takes us 20 minutes. We finally find the spot, 187. It's dark now. Everyone's taking the stuff out. Nobody's happy. Everyone, you know, we still got to find firewood in the dark. We still haven't got a dinner. We still got to put up the tents and everything like that. We go to bed. Now, the Shetlers will all tell you, Dad is the morning person, okay? And so I always wake up early. My wife's a night owl, and my boys all sleep in, but I just always wake up early. So I'm the first one that wakes up. I wake up and I come out of my little sleep bag and I wake up and I went, okay. And I take the tent and I unzip it. Well, I'm the first one who wakes up. And from I'm in my sleeping bag. I'm in my tent. And I unzip the tent. And when I unzipped the tent, this is what I saw from the tent. That picture was taken inside the tent with me still in my sleeping bag. And I look out the tent, and this is what I saw. And I got my camera, and I snapped this picture. And then I yelled, "Boys, boys, wake up!" And they go like, "Oh, bear, bear, Dad, what's wrong, what's wrong?" And I said, "Boys, look!" And they're all coming out of their sleeping bags, and they look out their tent. And they go, "Dad, there's green trees. Dad, there's a lake. Dad, there's mountains. Dad, there's snow on the mountains. Drew, Dad, it looks like a postcard." I said, "It does." And they all said, "That's what we prayed for." Gets better. We go down to Uray. We go down to Uray, and I'm signing all the papers for the Jeep. Now, my wife's been a kindergarten teacher for 12 years. And my wife, let me tell you something about Mary Lee. Mary Lee never yells. I yelled at my boys, okay? I probably shouldn't have, but I yelled at my boys. Mary Lee never yells. Matter of fact, when Mary Lee gets upset, she speaks quieter. She speaks, the softer Mary Lee speaks, the more we're in trouble, okay? And she did this with kindergartners. She never yelled at kindergarten, and she never yelled at the boys. They'll tell you, she never yelled. When she goes, "Drew," then it's like, you better listen. So Mary Lee never yells. She screamed. I'm signing the papers, and she yells, Jim, come here. And I go, "What?" I thought one of my kids is stealing something or something, you know, in the store. And I come on over. My wife is standing next to one of those stands that got postcards on it. She's standing there waiting the postcards. She's got a postcard in her hand. She said, "Look at this postcard." I go, "Wow, that looks like our camping site." She says, "Look at the back of it." I turn it around, top left-hand corner, Ridgeway State Park, site, everyone together. No way! They took the postcard from our camping site. It says Ridgeway State Park, site 187. I said, "Whoa, that's what we prayed for." Now let me tell you something, and we go to bed tonight. I got to tell you something. I've worked with young people all my life. And I've pastored for 25 years. I've had thousands of people that I've pastored. And I'm going to tell you, in America today, most Christians are pleased with KOA. They're satisfied with their KOA marriage. They're satisfied with their KOA children. They're satisfied with their KOA church. And they're satisfied with their KOA walk with God. Well, I just want to tell you this. I ain't much of anything. But I'm telling you what. I am ready to go to Ridgeway State Park spiritually. There is a hunger and a thirst in my life that, you know what? I've been married for 43 years. I am not satisfied with my marriage. I am not satisfied with the husband that I'm at. I am not satisfied for what I've seen. I have seen amazing things. Our pastor couple, where's our pastor couple? Our pastor couple, you've tasted that now. Nothing satisfies now, does it? It's just not it's like, no. I go to a lot of meetings, that just ain't what we've experienced. You've tasted it now. You know what it is to have Spirit of God working and running in your life and controlling your life. And I just want to tell you folks, don't come in here tomorrow satisfied with where you're at. Come in tomorrow with a hunger and a thirst for God and what God can do in your life and your marriage. I'll tell you what, I am not satisfied with Mary Lee. Mary Lee and I love each other. Mary Lee is my best friend, but I am not satisfied with our intimacy. I am not satisfied with my walk with Mary Lee. I want to be more of a husband. I want to know Mary Lee more than ever before. And I've got to tell you, more than anything else, my God, I am not satisfied with where I am with my Lord. And I will tell you, you can spend the rest of your life at KOA, but give us a generation of people that start believing, you know what, God, I want to live at Ridgeway. I want to experience you at a level that I have never experienced. We have as much as God as we want. And when you're ready to move up from KOA to Ridgeway, God's waiting for you. And that's what I prayed for in my spiritual journey. I wanted God to do something special. Whenever we get together as a family now and we talk, we always talk about Ridgeway State Park. Oh yeah, that's what we prayed for. And let me encourage you. Man, don't be satisfied. Oh, it's a nice thing. Learned a couple things. God, I want you to do something in my life. Father, thank you for an incredible day today. Thank you for what we've heard. Father, if you've torn us apart, it's to make us better. It's to make us more like the image of Jesus Christ. May we not be satisfied with what you've done in our lives and in our marriages. Father, the majority of us in this room have children. God, may we pray that our children will not ever be satisfied with KOA. God, may our own walk, may our churches not be satisfied with, oh, we just had a real nice time together as a church. God, work in our lives, work in our churches, work in our marriage, work in our families that we have never experienced like that before. Father, thank you for these folks. They receive the word well. But Father, may they not be satisfied with being hearers of the word. God, may they be doers of what they've heard today and throughout their life. And Father, I thank you for the Vaughns. I sense in the Vaughns that they're not satisfied. I sense that they want to see something. That's why they started Prayer Advance, because they didn't want KOA Christianity. And God, I pray that all of us would come tomorrow, even in our time alone with you, with a hunger that we haven't had for a long time. And God, work in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And if you're a Ridgeway State Park Christian, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.